Begin. I feel like that's pretty much close enough. Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome to Into the 99 podcast. Today we are doing another deck tech. This is Lotus's Kumena deck. Lotus, take us through what it is and why you built it, how you built it.
Okay, so I'm going to take you a bit further than that.
Do it.
I didn't play Magic as in Commander until a couple of years ago. I was always a casual, just playing, picking up cards. But I saw people playing Commander in my LGS and wanted to get involved but couldn't afford a precon. And I don't think precons were about, or they were just too expensive.
The old precons were wild.
Yeah.
Depending on if you got them late too, because people realized the power of the cards.
So being a kitchen tabletop player, I saw this on the shelf, which was Merfolk versus Goblins. And being naive, I thought, that's two decks for a multiplayer game. That must be a Commander deck. And bought it. So it wasn't. And I had to then go back to the store and buy loads of singles and make a mono blue Commander deck. After failing multiple times, Ixalan came out, Rivals, and Kumena showed up. And after finally getting hold of one, brewed my first ever favorite Commander deck, which is now in its seventh iteration. But this Commander has taught me so much to the point that I went from kitchen tabletop to level one judge. And if it wasn't for this deck, I wouldn't be where I am today.
So this one just really made you passionate about the Commander format in general as well, playing it and tuning it?
Yes, plus the Commander and his three abilities, which we'll go over in a minute, is what sparked my interest from this is a 6/6 for 6 creature, it's easy to understand.
Colossal to a
gross.
He's a good boy.
No.
to let's try more interesting scenarios. So I'll take you through the deck a little bit.
Well, first Kumena, off, I'm impressed okay. that you still have your first Commander deck. I think mine lasted, I don't know, 2 weeks. It was the original Anawan, and it was terrible. My CMC was too high. I didn't know what I was doing. And yeah, that was long gone, I think a month after. So I'm just impressed with how long you've kept this deck for. I
had a lot of the old precons, but like I stopped playing Commander for a long time. And the first thing I built coming back was Admiral Beckett Brass, and it is trash. I love it, but it is trash, and I still have it sleeved up, but it is not good. It would not hold up to this deck list.
And mine's my Savala deck. I tore it apart, but I was like, no, I have to rebuild it.
I
built Heliod the Sun Crowned, and I never even played it. Built the full deck, and then ended up tearing it apart and trading it for other stuff.
Mentioned
like I said, Kumena. This is like seventh iteration, so it's not the same as where it first started, but I kept the shell.
The spirit of the deck's still there. You mentioned Kumena has some abilities, so Kumena is 3 mana, it's 1 in Simic, 1 green-blue for a Merfolk Shaman, it's a 2/4, and what are the abilities?
So, you can tap another untapped Merfolk you control to give Kumena unblockable to end of turn. You can tap 3 untapped Merfolk to draw a card, or you can tap 5 to put a +1 counter on each Merfolk you control. He's basically a Planeswalker without loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
His loyalty is his followers.
The fun thing about it is, as well, his ability, the activation is tapping, so it's not a summoning sickness thing. You can put those things down and tap them whenever.
Yeah. And playing this deck, that was one of the first things that I learned, because I didn't know back then.
Yeah, that you could actually run him that way?
Yeah, and another weird thing.
Like, Kiora, move over, I got this.
Yeah, but I used to tap, for example, my 3 Merfolk in my turn instead of at the end of someone else's turn, so I'd have no blockers.
Oh, so you learned a lot about just how you should hold and how you should do a game plan from playing a deck like this. That is, it brings up a really interesting point that this is a commander that can be really complex and have really cool stack interactions, but it's also very beginner-friendly. Like, it is a difficult deck when you see what you can do. Like, the ceiling is very high, but the floor, like, the worst it is as well, is a deck pretty much anyone can pick up, have fun, play, and it's really easy to show people the importance of your commander with something like this.
I love tribal EDH decks. Like, it's usually pick it up, play this tribe. Like, any of these cards, elves, zombies, this, just play them because they all just synergize with one another and
simple tribal man.
Do a whole lot of things. Yeah, I love tribes.
I would be brave enough to say I think Kumina is one of the most powerful merfolk out there.
Oh, probably the most powerful. You have Tuvasa. Tuvasa is very fun, but Tuvasa doesn't function like this. Tuvasa is a Voltron commander or enchantment. Yeah. But it's a Voltron commander. I mean, come on. That's how I built it.
So that's the only way, right?
That is the only way. But yeah, Kumina, I think like there's some cool white merfolk stuff that you don't get access to in these colors. But you don't even need it.
No. And one of the iterations of this deck had 20 win cons or near enough. It had some silly stuff in it that it could do. And every time I picked the deck up, I would shuffle it up and I wouldn't know what I'm playing. It would be a different way every single game.
Those are fun. And
yeah, that made the deck even more enjoyable. But that's gone. And I focused a little bit more on a certain strategy at this moment in time. So
strategies are very important.
Yes, I have learned that. So did you want me to show you what the strategy is, or do you want to try and work it out as we go through?
Let's work it out as we go through, see how it is, and then you can say some common ways. I assume that you kill people with either commander damage or a big old beatdown a lot of the time.
I have never won with commander damage.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Never.
I love going hard with commander damage in Kumina.
I mean, you can. I mean, his first ability is perfect for it, but I personally only use his middle ability.
Fair. Oh, you don't run it as like a hardcore counters matter deck?
I can.
Interesting.
But that's a secondary line.
I run it that way. I play this deck as well, and I just run it as a bring your dice bag.
Who doesn't like having a pile of dice on the board?
Yeah.
I recently just acquired more than four dice, thanks to Lotus.
There you go.
You're welcome.
So yeah, let's go through. Where do you want to start us off here? Which one of your categories?
Should we start with the creatures?
Yeah.
It's the biggest category. So this is a creature-heavy deck, mainly because I want to be tapping lots of merfolk.
37 creatures.
I already 37. See one that is very salty.
Brian's favorite card.
The Hull Breacher. Yeah. That is a new iteration. I have yet to use it in this deck, so it's a placeholder to see how it would work.
Well, let me tell you, gross.
It is. At least it's a merfolk. At least you can justify it here, kind of, and be like, come on, guys, it's a merfolk. What do you want me to say?
Well, that's why I have Op Agent in my Anna 1 deck.
It's a rogue.
It's a rogue.
I get it. It's fair. It's not fair.
So
that's not fair.
We have Arixmethes, the Slumbering Isle, in here. It's a Kraken. It's kind of sea themed, but it's also mana. As we go through the creatures, you'll notice that there's a creature that uses this card and maybe another card in the deck repeatedly. So it's kind of a key piece. And then later in the game, it's just a big beater if I need it. You've got Curse Catcher. It just counters a few things, catches people off guard, especially in the early game.
Yeah.
What does it do?
So Curse Catcher is you sacrifice it, counter target instant or sorcery spell unless its controller pays one. Sometimes that can delay a Cyclonic Rift till they've got a little bit more mana. Just because they see it, it puts them on edge.
Well, it can also make people think twice about the early ramp you see in a lot of games, like Cultivate or Explosive Vegetation, something like that, counter it unless it pays one. That would be a harsh way to play it, but that's how I would play it. Like, I would definitely make people rethink their early ramp strategy, especially with a one drop.
You get somebody on their turn one Sol Ring if you go first.
Oh, no, only instant sorcery.
Only...
But that would be funny.
My bad. That was not a creature.
That's why you should play a Mental Misstep. Oh, but...
Mental Misstep, so good. You have Deep Glow Skate. It enters, doubles the number of counters on any number of target permanents, which is awesome. It's just a fish, so it's not a merfolk.
It's not. However, it does interact with the third ability of Kumina and also the Planeswalkers that I run.
Ooh, Planeswalker spoilers.
Yes. And there is a way of getting this effect multiple times, so we'll show you that later.
Some good old flicker?
No.
You have Deep Root Elite. It's another one of those. I think it's Rivals. One in a green for a Merfolk Warrior 1/1. Whenever another Merfolk enters the battlefield under control, put a 1/1 counter on target Merfolk you control.
I love these types of creatures.
Very strong and tribal, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The next one was a new addition.
This card is so fun to play, and people get so mad about it, but it is so fun. I still really want to build a deck based just around it, but I can't find a way to make it not entirely salt-filled.
That's fair. So Empress Galena, 3 blue-blue for a legendary merfolk. With pay blue-blue and tap, gain control of target legendary permanently.
Yep. Doesn't wear off. It's not a control effect. It doesn't. The only way it leaves is if they leave or yep. they kill it.
I think I saw someone run that in a Corona deck.
Oof.
Wow. I don't like that ability.
Yeah. It's a harsh one because not only can you take people's commanders, which is the, I think, saltiest people get, but you can take like any, like you can take like guys' cradles. You can take a lot of really good stuff with this. All their planeswalkers.
That'd be funny, taking someone's guy's cradle.
All their planeswalkers, Alhamerit's archive.
The influx of legendary everything.
Mm-hmm.
And now planeswalkers too, right?
So. In one of my decks that I run this card in, I also run Leyline of Singularity, which is every permanent is legendary, non-land permanent.
Ooh.
Really fun to just take everything.
I take your legendary basic land.
I wish. No, only non-legends are legendary, but still. Empress Galena is a really, really cool card. It's not one you see very often, and it is it's a little on the pricier side. It's like 19-ish US dollars.
Yeah.
So
I use it more as a deterrent than an actual steal effect because the amount of people that refuse to play a commander when this is on the board is astounding.
This is a removal magnet for sure. Like, people are going to want to get rid of it.
Kill on sight. Yeah, definitely kill on sight.
Empress Galena is such a fun card. Like, you really don't see it very often.
No, which is a shame.
Yeah.
The next card, Forerunner of the Heralds, 3 colorless and a green for a 3/2. When it enters the battlefield, you can search your library for a merfolk and reveal it and put it on top of your library. And then whenever another merfolk enters the battlefield, put a +1/+1 counter on it.
I've played against Lotus, so I know what card she's fetching with.
Empress Galena?
Nope. We'll talk about it when we get to it, but I know exactly what card she's getting with this one.
Yep.
It's a cool one.
But it goes to the top of the library, which is fine because our commander draws a card.
Really easy to draw in this deck. Herald of the Secret Streams is another great card. It's 3 and a blue for a Merfolk Warrior 2/3. Creatures you control with 1/1 counters on them can't be blocked. So it's very easy to, right before your turn starts, you get a bunch of counters on your army of Merfolk and then play this and just roll through the table.
I've just been getting so salty with unblockable stuff, Benson.
That's great.
Yeah, first time playing that Ashaya deck, and Brian took away my key to the city, so I drew a card, and it was a Rogue's Passage, so it was basically just meant to be.
Rest in
peace. Yeah. Next up, we have that Hull Breacher that was mentioned, 2 and a blue. It's a Merfolk Pirate with Flash. If an opponent would draw a card, except the first one they draw in each of their draw steps. Instead, you create a treasure token, and it is a 3/2.
Yeah.
It's a merfolk.
I really, really like Kiora's Follower, and I really like the promo.
Oh, it's a fantastic card.
That full art promo they did of it was like kind of the start of them exploring those. I wish they would bring these ones back. Was this an FNM promo, something like that, Lotus?
I believe it was either an FNM or a Games Day promo.
Yeah, I just really, really love the really full frame. Like, it's great. It looks like it's like a painted proxy version, and I was in love with these ones when I first saw them, like the full arts. It's not the Texas full arts, which I do kind of like too, but I like the text. I like to know what's going on. It's just straight Simic, 2/2 Merfolk, and it has tap and untap another target permanent. Which, again, is if you're running something like a Gaia's Cradle or one of those really, really good legendary things like a Lithiform engine or something nonsensical like that. It's a really, really good untap engine. I love Kiora's Follower.
And also, it does actually function in this deck for other reasons as well.
Okay. You can explain these combos after I get it.
I will let you know when we get to those cards which ones they interact with so you can see why I've chosen select cards.
Fair.
So this... This next
was my
one...
first commander.
Kopala?
Yep. Kopala is the first commander of this deck, and I still have the original card in the deck as well for keeping to my roots.
Is that the dual deck one?
Yeah.
That's cool.
I really enjoy like this like they've been coming up with more of these types of creatures where like spells your opponents control like that target blank. I love these types of creatures because
the built-in
again protection. I like the pillow fort. Yeah,
the newest one was in Commander Legends, that blue flyer, I think.
Yeah. Seor.
Yeah,
I call it Elsior.
I got the special or the etched foil of it, and I'm like, I want to use it because the way it's like whenever a spell targets your commander, it costs three more.
Seor is dope.
Yeah.
This one though, Kopala, is spells your opponents that cast that target merfolks are two more abilities. They activate the target of merfolk are two more as well,
which it's awesome.
Is a great one.
Yeah,
really so helps protect all your dudes.
I bought the merfolk versus goblins and I didn't like any of the commanders, and it was around the time Ixalan was around, so I literally just put that on front face.
Fair. Kopala's awesome.
We have
Lord of Atlantis, blue blue for a 1/1 and Island Walk Merfolk 2/2. Creature Lord, but it's Redditor Merfolk.
Yeah. Just a good card.
Yeah. Loyal Guardian's an interesting one in this deck as well. 4 and a green for a Rhino. Definitely not a Merfolk. But it has Trample.
He's a Merfolk in spirit.
Yeah. He's an honorary one.
She, in one of the games that we played, I think she made 6 of them.
The Loyal Guardian?
I had 8.
Yep.
Yuck. That's big. The beginning of combat on your turn. I also, by the way, just want to jump back. I love the lieutenant mechanic. That's the word. Yes. My brain stopped working there. Froze. The lieutenant mechanic is an awesome just way to play because so many people, like I play a lot of competitive games. Sometimes their commanders don't even hit the board. It's just for colors, piles. I like this. I like cards that make you want to play your commander and get it out and give you a benefit of keeping it out instead, right? You want to keep your commander protected, and that's how the game should be, in my opinion, at least.
Yep.
Now, Lotus, since Loyal Garden is a Rhino, the only suggestion I can maybe make is maybe Hull Breacher out and Arcane Adaptation in. And then you can say Merfolk just for that one creature.
There you go.
You know, but his ability at the beginning of combat on your turn, if you control your commander, put a +1 counter on each creature. It's just ridiculous. In a game with Brian, I had 6 to 8 of these.
So you have goaded, some clone.
I goaded her into attacking me.
Big mistake.
Teferi's protection.
I really, really like the next card, and it's actually, I killed Lotus for trying to play it the last time we played. It's Lulmage Mentor. It's 1 blue-blue, and this functions really well on theme with what Kumana likes to do. It's a Merfolk Wizard for 2/2. Whenever a spell or ability you control counters a spell, you can put a blue Merfolk onto the battlefield, and then you can tap 7 untap Merfolk you control counter-target spell. It's really, really good as a counter commander, and it's also just really, really good to make you Merfolk. Ooh, it's so good.
Yeah.
Tap 7 untapped counter-target spell on board is just an awesome ability, because like you said, you should be holding your tap until the last minute, right? When it's going to your turn. So you've got basically the whole rotation of turns to decide, like, all right, that can't hit the board. Craterhoof, no.
Yeah. I say nay.
And who runs Stifle? Who's going to stop this? No one.
And again, I have another card that interacts with this beautifully.
With Lulmage? Oh, I love Lulmage. And you also make a Merfolk for it. It's great. It's a good card.
Yeah.
I love this next card, Master of Waves. It's 3 colors and a blue for a Merfolk Wizard pro red. And it says elemental creatures you control get +1/+1. And whenever Master of the Waves enters the battlefield, create a number of 1/0 blue elemental tokens equal to your devotion to blue, and it's a 2/1.
I definitely
so interesting
like
to see
Waves.
Like 1/0s.
Well, that's because you've got to kill the Master of Waves. Otherwise, you just have to deal with these like huge elemental creatures.
Yeah.
Hey, just bounce Master of Waves and everything goes away.
A whole lot of Masters in this deck. Master of the Pearl Trident next. Blue-blue, other Merfolk are 1/1 and Island Walk. That sounds familiar.
Yeah, just another good lord.
Like I said, I love Tribals just for all these lords. Because like the next one, Merfolk, Mistbinder, Simic. Other merfolk you control get +1/+1. You have like 3 of these guys out. All your merfolk are like 4/4, 5/5s.
Yeah.
It would be crazy if there was another one in the deck.
Right?
What, like Merfolk Sovereign? Other Merfolk control get +1/+1.
Oh, no.
And tap target one. Creature. You can't be blocked. I really like the redundancy of the effects on Kumena. A lot of tap to do this, and the unblockable is great. Built-in unblockable is awesome.
We'll be right back.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favorite podcast platforms now.
Yep.
I'm getting tired of it these days.
Merfolk Trickster, blue. Flash Merfolk Wizard. When it enters, tap target creature and opponent controls, it loses all abilities until end of turn, and that is nuts. That's a very good card.
Yeah, I've caught so many people out with that one.
Look at this next card, Merfolk Regery, 2 colors and a blue for a 2/2. Other Merfolks you control get +1/+1. And then whenever you cast a Merfolk, you may tap or untap a target permanent.
So this is one of the cards where I said Eryximathes has a friend.
Yeah.
So I tap for 2. Cast a Merfolk, and then untap Eryximathes and tap for another 2.
That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
But there are other cards in the deck that are more beneficial to be untapped, but that is one of the targets.
Metallic Mimic, another mini lord. It's 2 colorless for a shapeshifter, so it's a Merfolk.
This one's a good one.
2/1, as it enters, choose a creature type. It's that type in addition to its others. Each other creature you control of the chosen type enters with an additional 1/1 counter on it.
Yep. Love it. Just good.
Just gets creatures big. Like, it's like, plus, like, you have all these lords, and then as soon as you play them, they get a +1/+1. Just big merfolk. I love it. I love all these cards.
All these
giant, like, +1/+1s, and then you play a Miscloaked Herald, which is next, which 1 blue, and it can't be blocked. So if you have all these lords out, and that thing just gets stacked, you're probably, what, attacking with a 5/5?
Yep.
They're big.
Yep.
Yeah. I really like the next one, Mistcaller. It's 1/1/1 Merfolk Wizard. Sack it until end of turn. If a non-token creature would enter the battlefield and it wasn't cast, exile it instead. That's a really good way to just hose players like Zach who want to reanimate stuff.
Yep.
That's
really good, actually.
Yeah, they want to go for like a reanimator loop? No.
I say nay. There's a lot of nays in here.
Not today.
More and more reasons to run Arcane Adaptation, actually. This is like creature number 5. That's not a merfolk.
Oh, the Kraken? Release the Kraken.
True.
And it makes also not Krakens. But you draw so much, yeah.
I draw so much, and the Nadir Kraken is 1 blue-blue for a 2/3. Whenever I draw a card, I may pay an additional 1. If I do, put a +1 counter on the Kraken and create a 1/1 tentacle token. That is just too much value in this deck to not have it.
Oh, you put Realmwalker in. Really like that card.
In this deck.
2 and a green for a shapeshifter with changeling. It's every creature type, so this is a merfolk. A 2/3. As it enters, choose a creature type. You can look at the top card of your library, and you can cast creatures of the chosen type from the top of your library. I love that stuff.
Yeah, this is a really good buy-a-box promo.
Put this in my Momir Vig deck so I can get those elves out quickly. That's really cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to write that down. someone go with the next one while I write this down here.
I think Brian should read the next one.
Root Water Matriarch, 2/2 blue. And it is a merfolk. Can you tap and gain control of target creature as long as that creature is enchanted? Joke's on you. Not many of my creatures are enchanted. Wait a minute. If they're enchantments, as technically
they're not enchanted.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Back off.
Then we're safe.
Yeah. I'm fine. I'm cool.
This next card seems kind of bonkers. Seafloor Oracle, 2 colors and a 2/2 for a 2/3. Merfolk Wizard. And whenever a merfolk you control deals combat damage to a player, draw a card.
Every combat, you're guaranteed to be hitting at least one or two people with unblockable creatures just from the sheer amount of this becomes unblockable. Tap this to become unblockable. This creature is unblockable.
Yep.
This next one is another good card for your untap shenanigans, the Sea Hunter.
Definitely.
Not a merfolk, yes, but in spirit, needs to be here. It's 2 blue-blue for a 2/2 mercenary. Pay 3, tap it, search your library for a merfolk card, put it into play, then shuffle. And that is a really, really good ability.
I've never seen this card.
Oh, it's really cool card.
That's new to me, too.
I also know exactly what Lotus Ghost to get with it. Again, I've seen it. I've seen it all.
Yep. And it's coming soon.
Yeah, it is coming soon. Seedborn Muse, obviously you need Seedborn Muse in it. The old artwork of Seedborn just looks so terrible in comparison to the new one. I just love that new artwork.
The new one's beautiful.
The new artwork. The green,
the commander green one.
Yeah.
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 Ooh, so this is a cool Sigil one. Tracer is 1 blue-blue for a 2/2 merfolk wizard. 1 and a blue, tap 2 untapped wizards you control. Copy target instant or sorcery spell. You may choose new targets for the copy.
Not even quite that you control. That's a really good card.
Yes, I'm not running many instant or sorceries, but I don't have to copy mine. I can copy anyone's. And I run quite a lot of these merfolk are wizards as well.
Yep.
Dear Lord.
Didn't you use that to copy my Teferi's Protection?
Yes, I did.
That's actually a really cool card. I would use that to just copy a lot of ramp, but I would also use it to. Yeah. I saw a card in the sorcery, yeah. Oh, yeah, a lot of these are merfolk wizards.
There's a good chunk of them, and if I haven't got them, I'll go search for them.
Yeah. Well, the next one, Silvergale Adept, 1 and a blue for a 2/1 merfolk wizard. Has an additional cost, reveal a merfolk card or pay 3. When it enters, draw a card.
That artwork is beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another promo. I really liked these ones.
Stony Brook Banneret, 1 and a blue for a merfolk wizard, 1/1 island walk. Merfolk and wizard spells, you play are 1 less.
I've never seen this one either.
I play that one in a lot of decks. I really, really like that card, but I play a lot of wizards.
Yep. Again, making your merfolks cheaper is just good.
And merfolks are already costing maybe 3 or like at the highest 5.
It's a pretty low cost tribe, yeah.
Yep. This next one's awesome. Steam, I've never seen this card. What set is that even from?
From the Jewel deck.
Yeah, the Merfolk versus Goblin.
Streambed Aquatex. It's a colorless blue-blue for a Merfolk Scout 2/3, and you can tap it to target Merfolk gets +1/+1 in Island Walk, and then you can tap target land becomes an island until end of turn. Card's awesome with the amount of
untapped. So you could have your Curious Follower, and then you could tap it for the Island Walk, untap it, tap it again.
Make something island with the amount of stuff in your deck that has Island Walk.
Could you imagine being like the only person that's not playing islands? You're like, I'm not going to get hit by this. And then Kiora's follower, I untap this. Your land becomes an island.
I've also really been mean to someone where I've held them in their draw step and turned their Gaia's Cradle into an island.
That's what I was going to say is that it doesn't become an island in addition, becomes an island. Bizarro, if it's an island.
Mishra's Island?
Yeah, Mishra's Island, that's fun. Tron's Online, now it's off.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point, too.
Yeah.
Urza's Island.
Urza's Island, that's funny. Thassa's Oracle, blue-blue for a merfolk wizard again. 1/3, when it enters, look at the top X cards of your library, where X is your devotion to blue. Put up to 1 of them on top of your library and the rest on the bottom in a random order. If X is greater than or equal to the number of cards in your library, you win the game.
I have actually won the game by overdrawing, and this card has been very helpful.
It's so easy. It's so easy when you're running a commander that lets you draw like this to be like, I don't have enough cards in my library to continue this.
And again, a wizard.
Yeah, also a wizard.
There you go.
True Name Nemesis. One of the cards I've never understood why they made this card. It is very strong in 1v1s. Yeah.
And getting a reprint.
Is it?
Yeah, the old order art is beautiful.
Yeah.
Interesting. 1 blue-blue for a 3/1 merfolk rogue. When it enters, choose a player, and it just has protection from the chosen player. Can't be blocked, targeted, dealt damage, or enchanted by anything controlled by that player. You just steamroll people with it.
At one point, the foil was $300.
That's gross.
Yeah.
Thanks, Legacy.
Wow.
Vigor's another great card in this deck. 3 and 3 green for a 6/6 with trample, elemental incarnation. If damage will be dealt to another creature you control, control, prevent it. Put a wall and counter on each creature for each one damage prevented this way. And then when Vigor's put into a graveyard, shuffle it into a library. Graveyard from anywhere, yeah. Which is also very good.
It helps me protect my merfolk from Blasphemous Act if they're too small, or combat decks.
Blasphemous Act helps. Table. Oof.
Yeah, big it Kumena. Also helps against mill decks if they're trying to mill me out and I'm not prepared for it. This will just keep going back in my library.
I always forget that Vigor does that, yeah. Always gives you something to draw.
I know yeah. one card that I'd just be adding in here if you're worried about people milling you out. That's Cost Wheel of Sun and Moon.
Ula Mog. You can't have Wheel of Sun and Moon, Ryan. It's white.
No, it isn't. Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah, it
it's
is.
It's hybrid.
Yeah. So never mind. Never mind.
You're I'm far enough colors.
I didn't
Go
know
that, to Suva, Brian.
I didn't know that this next one was a human merfolk. That's weird. Vorl of the Hulklade, one green blue for a 1/4, and it has pay one green, one blue, tap double the number of each kind of counter on target artifact, creature, or land.
Human merfolk?
Yeah, human merfolk.
Yep. He does have legs.
What kind of freaky stuff was going on there?
I'm so confused.
Yeah.
So I have questions, but I don't think I'll get answers.
Also, this also was from my previous build, but I kept it in because he affects counters. I had a Dark Steel Reactor. So Dark Steel Reactor is an indestructible artifact that if it has 20 counters on it at the beginning of your upkeep, you win. But you can only get a counter on it once in your upkeep. So I put this in to double the amount each time to speed that up.
That's funny.
Makes sense.
But I never used to win that way, so that card came out, but he made the cut and stayed in.
The next one's a very fun card.
Yes.
It's a sweet card.
It's very easy to go infinite with this card. Love it. Wanderwine Prophets. Oh, yeah. It's 4 blue-blue for a 4/4. Again, Merfolk Wizard. It has Champion of Merfolk. When it comes into play, sack it unless you remove another, so you exile another Merfolk under it until this is gone. Whenever it deals combat damage to a player, you may sacrifice a merfolk. If you do, take an extra turn after this one.
Oof.
Yep.
Ugh.
Ugh. And I can actually make this go infinite in this deck.
Oh, yeah. There's so many ways. Like, especially, you can even just do it on, like, a Followed Footsteps kind of a loop or a Mirror Mockery. That's another one I really like.
You know, you're going to be hitting people.
Yeah. Especially if they've got Island Walk and I can make their things islands.
A whole lot of unblockable in the deck. Yeah, this is actually a very fun card. It's fun to get extra turns in not feel bad ways. Obviously, you can, like most things in Magic, you can break it if you try hard enough. But, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Getting one or two extra turns in a Merfolk deck, they're Merfolk. Come on, guys. Have fun.
What's the worst that can happen?
I just got terrified by looking at the first artifact.
You want to do artifacts?
Take it away, Brian.
The very first artifact that we have in this deck is a Chroma's Memorial. seven colorless legendary artifact. Creatures you control have flying, first strike, vigilance, trample, haste, and protection from black and from red. Flying, so ridiculous. All the fish in the sea become flying fish.
Yep.
Flying half-human fish.
More importantly, vigilance so I can attack and then tap them for cards later.
Ooh, very good. I like that.
Or to make things unblockable.
Flying Merfolk. Or, yuck.
Yeah.
Or add all +1/+1 counters to every creature.
You got your normal Arcane Signet. Chromatic Lantern. I actually wouldn't run Chromatic Lantern. I want to know why you do.
It was at the time that I didn't have access to Shock Lands or any of the Dual Lands. So this is still in here from previous iterations, and it just seems to work.
It's not a bad ramp card.
It was like one of the preeminent ramp spell or ramp rocks, if you want to call it. Like, because we didn't have the off color signets, we didn't have Arcane Signet.
Yeah. It let you help pick mana fix.
Ooh. That was really
good.
Came at you like an attack. That one. Sorry. Gilded Lotus 5 tap for 3.
So again, if I'm tapping for 3 with this one, I can use the Mirror Regery as a target to untap this one.
Yep.
Most merfolk cost approximately 2 to 3 mana. Occasionally, so I can net mana with this.
You can go like pseudo infinite.
Helm of the Host, one of the ways to go infinite with the Marrow or the Wanderwine. Yeah.
The Wanderwine, yes. Every combat step, I make a merfolk, sacrifice that token copy.
I didn't even think about that.
Kind of shiver from that. Don't do that to me.
Or make multiple copies of Empress Galena.
Well, you can also, if you have any the Herald of the Forerunners, where you go and get anything, you can always champion that with the Wanderwine and then go every time you need to sacrifice it. It'll just bring itself back. You get your ETB back off. Love it.
Yep.
I love cards that let me abuse ETB. Love ETB in general. Say it too many times.
Yeah.
Nick's Lotus is just beautiful artwork.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really like this one.
I'll never get over how nice that artwork is. I really want that playmat. I should buy it.
It's a beautiful. And it also works in this deck because being merfolk, they're mostly double blue.
Yeah, your devotion's so high in a deck like this.
Yeah. And again, the Reejuri will untap this every time I cast a merfolk.
Ew.
That's a whole lot of land or mana.
Yeah.
Like, there's...
And still no X spells that I see.
No X spells. I was about to say Dan's about to comment on X spells.
Not a single X spell. There's one, I think. One X spell.
You got to get some of these X spells going. I love X spells. Zexara deck incoming.
So we got Soul Ring, as always. Should be in every commander deck.
And then I love this next. This next card is one of my favorite.
Take it away with them, Ryan.
I love it.
Sort of Truth and Justice, or sort of Superman, sort of America. Three colorless. Artifact equipment. Equipped creature gets +2/+2 and has protection from blue and white. And whenever equipped creature deals combat damage to player, put a +1/+1 on a creature you control and then proliferate.
Proliferate's so good.
It's awesome. The card does so much work, especially in this deck. Like, you have 11 billion ways to put +1/+1 counters on things and proliferate. And the planeswalkers, which we'll get to, proliferate.
I really liked seeing them. I really liked seeing them expand the sword cycle. I liked the two new swords. Swords have always been fun.
I do too.
Yeah.
At some point, they'll make me 50 different ones so I can just run that and Arden Rogue Wreck. I'm a simple man. I know what I want.
Yeah.
Vedalken Orrery, another great card. You can play non-land cards anytime you can play an instant. Flash City. Brian doesn't know how to play Flash.
No.
I've
slowly been fixing that.
You're getting there.
I love Flash so much. Ever since I could understand that you can tap three merfolk in the end step before my turn. And then found out about Flash, and I can put everything in at the end of my turn. I just loved it from that point onwards. Like I say, this deck made me who I am today.
I tap all these merfolk. I draw this many cards. I can then play this many spells.
Well, the other nice thing, too, is if you have some of that mana up and you have Vedalken out, you are going to draw a bunch before you get to your turn. So having new things out that have pseudo haste because you've played them before the turn, love it.
Well, that and Seaborn Muse, you're basically making a two-piece Prophet of Kruphix, but it's legal to play.
Bring back Prophet of Kruphix. It did nothing wrong.
I don't know what you're talking about, Dan.
It did nothing wrong. It, Leovold, Prime Titan. Let's just get it going. Let's start the day off.
There's a lot of talk about Primeval Titan. People don't care about it anymore because of power creep.
Yeah, exactly. Bring back Prime Titan. What are we talking about? Green needs more. It's a weak color. We all know this.
That is the worst color in Magic.
Say green.
Yeah, green. The design team doesn't like green. Wink, wink.
Yeah. Or at least the design team from 2 years ago doesn't.
Oh, everything. It's like Baneslayer Angel reprint. And they're like, Elder Gargaroth. Elder Gargaroth. It has reach and makes tokens and can kill the Baneslayer. You're like, what?
And draw cards.
Yeah,
I think calm down.
It was... They know what they're doing with green. They understand.
Green just needs counter magic, and then the circle is complete.
They have counter magic.
More counter magic.
You have two planeswalkers in here.
Yes.
Shockingly, Kiora.
And Kiora.
And Kiora.
Yeah, go ahead. Take us through what they do.
Okay, so we've got Master of the Depths for two blue and a green. Four loyalty. It's +1. Is untap up to two target creatures and up to one target creature and one target land. So I can untap things like the follower. I can untap my other lands. It's -2 is reveal the top four cards of your library. You may put a creature card from a creature and or a land card from among them into your hand. Put the rest into the graveyard. Or my favorite, which is what I always aim for, is you get an emblem for -8. Whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, you may have it fight a target creature. But you can also put 3/8/8 octopuses into the battlefield.
This is terrible, and I don't know why anyone would ever do that.
Mega octopus.
Yeah.
So the octopus are only a one-time thing, though.
Yeah,
I'm looking at both Kira right now, and you have Kira that's above sea level with the crashing wave, and then you have Kira that's at the bottom.
Master of the depths, yeah.
So I'm just...
Same mana cost.
We're waiting for the Kira in the middle.
Yeah. Kira on land, she can walk now? Oh, no.
Yeah. human merfolk.
Two green blue is the next Kira, starts at two. Plus one, until your next turn, prevent all damage that would be dealt to and dealt by target permanent and opponent controls, which is a great way to hose Voltron commanders.
Yep.
Really, really like that that ability. Minus one, draw a card. You may play an additional land. Again, a great ability. It's classic Simic shenanigans. Then it has minus five, which is not hard to proliferate to or get to. You get an emblem with at the beginning of your end step. Put a 9/9 blue Kraken creature token onto the battlefield. That's a good emblem.
Yeah.
I've won so many games with that emblem.
Yeah, that's a great one. Oh, I'm looking at these instants. Furious.
One of them.
Just furious, cyclonic.
I don't know why you'd be so upset of seeing a heroic intervention.
Yeah, you guys take this segment. Ugh.
Yeah, I'm out too.
Animals.
So
cyclonic rift.
Yeah. I don't know why Daniel and them were complaining. Cyclonic Rift is a perfectly fair card. It is one in a blue. And to return target non-land permanent you don't control to its owner's hand. And that is it. or you can overload it for six and a blue, and you may cast the spell for its overloaded cost. If you do, change its text by replacing all instances of target with each. So return each non-land permanent you don't control to its owner's hand.
I'm nothing if not consistent, because gross.
Yeah. Game for six mana, no thanks. Hate it.
Oh no! It's
so
seven.
I don't run Cyclonic Rift in every blue deck because I do think the card can be unfair. So this is on the occasion that I'm going against prison decks and I can't get through, say, Shielded by Faith. I need to just wipe the board and then just smack them for everything I've got.
So this is Brian's fault.
Yeah.
It does stop humility, which does stop your deck dead in its tracks.
Yeah, I do need a couple of board wipes.
What animals am I playing with?
I don't know what you're talking about. I play perfectly fair cards.
Who would run either of those, Cyclonic Rift or Humility? Who?
Looking at you.
You know who you are.
I heard what you said.
Heroic Intervention I do like as a card. One in a green, permanent to control, gain hexproof and indestructible till the end of the turn.
I don't know why I was making you make puke sounds. Yeah. I don't get it.
I do love Heroic Intervention. It was a great card to get a reprint.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you know, I can't have enough of these. I just play so much green that this just makes sense to have it in every deck.
It is a great... elf decks need this, basically. Like, one board wipe usually just wrecks your whole day as an elf deck.
Yep.
I was debating running a second version, not for the indestructible, but the hexproof side of things with Lazatop plating.
The blue one, yeah.
All permanents you control and you gain hexproof.
We're about to go into enchantments, and I'm seeing another one that's not there. You should be running Dual Nature, Lotus. What are you talking about? You have so many merfolk.
I'm sorry.
I love Dual Nature. Dual Nature's not in the deck, so I'm not going to go into what it does. Look it up. It's great for every tribal deck or ETB deck.
Worth a Google.
Yeah, exactly. I said Google it. Why wouldn't you Google it? You start off with copy enchantment, though, which is a strange way to start the list. Two and a blue. Yeah. When it comes into play, choose an enchantment in play, not just ones you control. If you do, it becomes a copy of that enchantment. I love copy enchantment.
Yeah.
So now you're coming into the real reason that this deck was built.
Copy enchantment?
You'll see, as we go through this list, you'll see how much I can do.
All right.
She's about to talk about, I think there was five up, but we'll get into that.
This next card, Doubling Season, has it needs more reprints.
It just got one too.
Still super expensive.
It's one of those cards, though, that no matter how much they're never going to print this down to a $10 card. Sadly, no amount of inventory of this card will make it cheap. It's so good.
So yeah. Four colors and a green enchantment. If an effect would put one or more tokens into play under your control, put twice that many instead. If an effect would put one or more counters on a permanent you control, put twice that many instead.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Yep. And if you remember the emblem with the 9/9 Krakens each turn.
Mm-hmm. Release the Mega Krakens.
Yeah.
I make two or one 18/18.
Estrid's Invocation is the next one. I really, really like that card. It's two and a blue, again, just like copy enchantment. It can only target things you control, but you can change it at your upkeep. And I really, really like that utility for if you get something better, it's good. So it doesn't have to sit in your hand waiting for like a, maybe a copy enchantment. You know that you need to copy Doubling Season for your way of playing. Estrid's Invocation still lets you get it out on board. People traditionally don't run much enchantment removal in general. So it's on board and then can become whatever good enchantment you need later in the game. I really, really like that card.
Yeah.
Yeah, Estrid's Invocation is really good. I really like that ability to change it up.
Yeah. You do have the Followed Footsteps that I mentioned earlier. I love that card too. Three blue, enchant creature at the beginning of your upkeep. Put a creature token into play that's a copy of Enchanted Creature.
I've never seen this card again.
Followed Footsteps, very fun. I would
probably put a different enchantment in there for three and two blue. I'd probably put Corrupted Conscious. But
Lotus, does this by chance generally get put on 9/9 Krakens or 8/8 Krakens?
No, this one generally goes on something like Vigor.
Mm-hmm.
Hilarious.
Anything that has utility. Mero Regery is one that is a very good target for this. So I cast a Merfolk and I have like five Mero Regeries and I can untap five permanents.
Yep.
That's pretty silly.
Or like I said, that Herald where you can go and fetch things. Oof.
Yep.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that'd be amazing.
Yeah. Great ETBs. You have Hadana's Climb, one of the flip Ixalan lands. It's one green blue at the beginning of your combat on your turn. Put a 1/1 counter on target creature you control. Then if it has three or more counters on it, transform it, and it transforms to Winged Temple of Orazca, legendary land, which you could definitely, if you wanted to take with Galena, do. Taps for one mana of any color, or for three, target creature you control gains flying, gets XX until end of turn, where X is its power. You can really kill people with that.
Yep, yeah. A 9/9 Kraken turns into an 18/18 flying Kraken.
Yuck.
And then we got Intruder Alarm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This card
is beautiful. So for two and a blue, creatures do not untap during their controller's untap phase. Whenever any creature comes into play, untap all creatures. Now, do you remember that creature that says tap seven merfolk, counter target spell, then create a 1/1?
Oh, wow.
Counterlock the board.
Yes.
Amazing.
Unless for some reason someone has a stifle again.
I'm surprised this card is only $7.50. And it's from Stronghold.
I only ever see it hit the battlefield when someone's about to win.
I think that price might be off. I don't think Intruder Alarm's that cheap.
I think it was a Mystery Booster as one of the list cards.
Let me go see what the...
We'll look up prices after. We'll get there. Leyline of Anticipation is the next one here.
Another thing that allow flash.
Flash
I
City.
Love my flash. Now, and then... Dan, do you want to do the next one? Because I know that you're mentioning this card.
This is the one that she's going to fetch every time. It's a tribal enchantment, Merfolk. So anything that fetches a Merfolk can fetch this enchantment. It's very cool. It's one of the blue. Cool. At the end of your turn, untap all Merfolk you control. And that is such a good mechanic. If you swing, you get them all untapped as blockers. If you use Kumana's ability to draw a bunch of cards... So you can just dig for a new answer or new creatures to get out on the battlefield or just new merfolk to play to continuously tap the Kumana engine. Mero Commerce is such a good card. And like I said, I know that that's the card that you're fetching the majority of the time because, again, at two mana, its ability is unparalleled in a deck like this. That untap ability, fetchable, merfolk tribal, beautiful artwork. This is the guy.
Yeah, and also if I'm using copy enchantments and make multiple of these, I have multiple untaps on the stack, so I can interact between each one, drawing more cards.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. That's really neat.
Yeah, they're all triggers that would go on. So it's one untap, I'm going to draw seven cards. One untap, I'm going to draw seven cards. It's a great card. You have Mirror Maid, another card specifically for copying, stuff like that, or a good artifact if you wanted, but We know what it is. Yeah. Parallel lives, 3 and a green for another token doubler. If in effect, put one or more tokens on the battlefield under your control, put twice that many instead. Twice that many is the interesting wording with that. I love the math.
Yeah.
Propaganda, Brian.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The pillow fort. 2 and a blue for each turn.
I saw 5 of.
Yeah, each turn, each creature can't attack you unless its controller pays an additional 2 for that creature. I did see a lot of that one. Oof.
And that's what I tried to do with Alila and stuff like that when I was, because every time you play enchantment, you get a fairy, right? So mm-hmm. I was like, propaganda and all these just artifact or enchantment doublers. And I'm like, oh, propaganda, okay. And you can have the white ones, right? You can have Ghostly Prison.
Did you make Pillow Fort, Alila?
Yeah, I did.
Interesting.
Sphere of Safety.
Yeah.
You could also run the Kojin Falls, which is propaganda in black.
Yeah, the reserveless one. I love it.
There's also, I forget the name of the card. I think it's Collective something. It's a blue one that they have to pay 1 for each basic land type that you control.
That's cool.
I haven't heard of that one. Yeah, I'll have to
take a look. It's out of, I think, Invasion Block.
This is a very cool card that just came out to put into a deck like this. Reflections of Litajara, 4 blue for an enchantment. When it comes in, choose a creature type. Whenever you cast a spell of the chosen type, copy it. That is awesome.
Oof. Yeah, that's amazing.
That also counts for things like Meryl Commerce.
Yep. Oh, yeah, because it is a tribal. It is a merfolk.
Oh, yeah.
Double down. And then you like to cosplay as a parrot again with Rhystic Study. Do you pay the one? Do you pay the one? Do you pay the one?
I'm going to have to make myself a parrot costume, apparently.
True.
Again, another target for your mirror maids, copy enchantments.
Yeah. We have a few sorceries. I'll let you go through these ones and explain why you like them. Oh, you do have an X-Spell one. There you go.
Yeah, I do have one. So,
Where's your Gen Wave?
Clone Legion is the first one. It's 7 blue-blue. Each creature target player controls create a copy that's a copy of that creature. So I make a token of your whole board.
Very solid.
Or all of your merfolk again.
All of my merfolk, or if I'm playing against someone that's gone really wide, I can copy their board.
The first time I ever saw that card, someone was playing Feldegriff, and they got all of my hippo tokens on their side as well.
I haven't managed to cast this very often, but it's a kind of a pet card. But the times I have got this to go off, I've had a doubling season and copy enchantment doubling season on the battlefield. And I was playing against a Slither player. So I had so many Slithers. The next one is Nylea's Intervention, is the X spell, X green green sorcery. Choose 1. Search your library for up to X land cards, reveal them, put them into your hand, and shuffle your library. Generally, I will search for the Reliquary Tower and any other land because it doesn't say basic. The other one is it deals twice X damage to each creature with flying. It's very rare my stuff flies, so it's good to take out those pesky flyers.
Yeah.
Remember, kids, play this one instead of Tempted Discovery.
No, Tempted Discovery is great. Always take the offer.
I love Tempted Discovery.
I absolutely adore this next card, Rite of Replication.
Yeah, so this is where the 6 Vigors came from.
The lieutenants.
Loyal Guardians, yeah.
I'm a monster. I would just make Lull Mage Mentors.
So, counters. 2 colors and a blue-blue for a sorcery with Kicker 5. Put a token onto the battlefield that's a copy of target creature. If it was kicked, put 5 of those tokens onto the battlefield instead.
She made 6 Loyal Guardians, so every upkeep before combat, all creatures would get 6+1+1 counters.
I'm still on the unbanned Primeval Titan with this. I'd still like it. Make me 6 Prime Titans. Let's get 12 lands and go.
It's happened, and it's glorious.
Good times.
The next one, if you've watched me play this deck against Ryan, I was on 1 life, and I cast this spell. It's River's Rebuke. 4 blue-blue for a sorcery. Return all non-land permanents target player controls to their owner's hand.
Yeah, fair. And
one
on life, and I believe your commander was an elk.
My yes, commander was an elk. I had six mana the whole game. I had my commander elked, and you had a board of about 50 power.
And I killed everyone but you because you were exiled from the game. You were phased out of the game, then you came back in with everything. You rivers rebuked me, then killed me.
Yep. It was wonderful. So, you should go watch that.
It was pretty.
You're able to watch that on YouTube.
And the last one is just Sylvan Scrying, one and a green for a sorcery. Search library for a land, any land. Again, I can go search for any of the lands I need at the time I need it.
Sylvan Scrying's great.
There's like absolutely like no ramp.
Are there any lands?
There's the Merfolk and Wizards cost one less.
Well, and the entire segment of artifacts, Arcane Signet, Chromatic, so Gilded like, Lotus, Nyx Lotus, Sol Ring.
No real any, like spells to go and fetch out the lands.
So the reason really behind that, the reason behind that is due to me searching for the untapper. I don't want a one-off land ramp. I want it to be multiple times to be untapped.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
So I go for rocks instead of ramp.
Yeah.
Seems solid.
Yeah. And then there's some good utility lands in here, like Alchemist's Refuge, because you can't have enough flash.
Flash is
really good. Yeah, it's a land that taps for a colorless or for a green and a blue. You can tap it, and non-land cards gain flash for the turn.
It's really good, actually. I think Daniel played it, and so I started picking them up to put into my decks.
Alchemist, yeah, I really like Alchemist Refuge.
It's a sweet card.
Yeah.
What's your first snag with Inventor's Fair, Lotus? Do you go for the Memorial or do you go for the Orrery?
So Inventor's Fair depends on what artifacts are out, because obviously you need so many. Most of the time I go for the Akroma's Memorial.
And then, yeah, Inventor's Fair, at the beginning of your upkeep, if you control three or more artifacts, you gain one life. I don't know if that's going to happen in this deck, but I don't think that's the main reason it's in there. You pay four and tap it. You sacrifice it and search your library for an artifact card, reveal it, and put it into your hand and shuffle your library.
Seems good.
And you can,
I can only do that, three or more artifacts.
So that's kind of like a late game, because you're drawing in all those cards, I imagine, with Kamina. So that's probably what your late game finisher?
Yeah, it's basically just to get there to fly over and finish everyone off.
I like this deck. I like the way that you put it together.
Cool. It's fun to watch it go off, and at the same time, it can be very frustrating to play against, but not in like a prison way. It's just what your deck is capable of doing and how.
When I went against it, it was in a prison way.
It was definitely in a prison way. Yeah.
Yeah, Benson paid 10 mana to attack with one creature. That was...
Yeah, I made so many copies of...
Propaganda, yeah.
Propaganda. It's just a deck that I like because it's got so much utility. It can go against quite a wide array of decks. Plus, everything can be done in response. I.e. be with flash, drawing cards, or any other tapping ability. It's just a deck that's very reactive as well as responsive.
Well, a nice thing about it too is you can really shave this deck down pretty quickly. Like, you don't need your Rhystic Study, you don't need a Doubling Season, you don't need a Hull Breacher. Like, you could make this a very, very affordable deck really, really easy. There's so many big value cards that you could just like turn this into a very, very accessible for new players deck. But like a commander like this, you're going to get a lot out of no matter experience level, right? It's a good teaching deck. It's a good explaining the stack deck and abilities. And it's also just a really fun deck to play. Like built-in draw is so good.
Well, there's so many merfolk. Yeah. Like you can have like four commander decks sit down and like they'll share like majority of the lords. The lords will all be the same, but you could have all different ways of winning with just different types of merfolk. Like Merfolk, I feel like one of the tribes that just got all the love. Like, give us other tribes.
Yeah.
But yeah, you could, I mean, even a lot of your prices are like, get a non-foil Kamina. Like Dan said, like, your enchantments are some of like where your heavy, heavy money's at. But if you cut like Psychonic Rift, change your mana base a little bit and your artifacts a little bit, you're just your creatures alone. I mean, looking at a $200 deck with a little bit of splash here and there, it's not.
Yeah.
Not bad at all.
The only reason that certain cards in here are foil or promo is because I physically own them, because I've been building this deck from the first time I started Commander. Yeah.
But I'm just saying, it just changes some of the pricing for if they wanted to just go out and build it on their own.
Trim now is still $11. Yuck.
And I don't know why. I don't know why that card's so expensive, because I don't think it sees that much play.
It sees so much play.
Legacy.
Everyone loves it. It slaps.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a sweet deck. Tried to push you to do this one on the deck tech. I think it's a really interesting deck.
Well, also, I wanted to show this one off because I think there's a lot of people out there that just need to believe in themselves more, because this is proof that someone can go from casual kitchen tabletop not understanding what the stack is to a judge. And this deck helped me do it. So if a deck can teach me, anyone can learn and become great deck builders.
I like that.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Yeah.
So much more thought than my decks. I'm just like, oh, cards.
Yeah. No, I like this deck has made me build my commander decks in a new, well, this was my first one, but the more I play and build with this deck, the more I want more complex interactions. I strive to find complex situations now.
I like that. Build a get rugged.
Challenge yourself.
I do think, and I do love all the complex situations. I do, but when we were talking about the way Spell Table has changed, or Pandemic has changed the way we play, I think sometimes super complex can get frustrating over Discord, because sometimes I think people just glaze over it. But I also think it can be an advantage, because some people are like, yeah, just do whatever you want. Let me know what I'm taking.
Dan loves to hear that.
100%. Yeah. People make stupid mistakes. Or
math is for attackers. Sort it out yourselves.
That's funny.
Man.
Yeah. Thank you so much, guys, for listening. Brian, let everyone know where we can find our stuff. And yeah, check this deck out. The link will be in the description. And thanks so much, guys.
So check us out, one-stop shop, intothe99.com. You can find articles written by fellow community members to articles written by members of our team. On the website, you can find our merch store and links to our Patreon if you want to support us more financially, as well as you can find links to all of our socials, all of the different podcast programs or websites, and our YouTube. It is a one convenient place for all of the content at your fingertips. And with that, I think that is it.
Two other shows. There is Parallel Thoughts with Benson and Zach, and Brunette Live with Lotus. Make sure you check those out as well. Those are on our YouTube. And again, thanks guys so much for listening. Bye-bye.
Have a good afternoon, guys.
See ya.
Well, it's a good spot to stop it, but I'm not gonna. Man, I could let that song roll all day.
And the intro song.